You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 112, and I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. My guest today says, weaving is a beautiful, complex tangle of knots and fragile threads that form something strong and useful. Therefore, it is no surprise that it's a great teacher of all life's lessons. Joining me on today's show is Alexandra Forby. Alexandra started Daughters Handwovens in 2015. She taught herself to weave about 4 months before starting the business, and she's never looked back. The goal of Alexandra's business is to encourage women with God's true vision of femininity, and she aims to change the way people think Christians perceive women, and maybe the way some Christians do perceive women. Amen. She does this by selling hand-woven home goods with subtle colors, beautiful textures, and handmade soul, and she hopes to fill homes and hearts with beauty, truth, and the message of God's love. Now, on today's show, Alexandra's going to share, if you don't love what you do, or if you don't do what you love, you'll likely get a lot less done. Maybe that's the secret why. We should always be looking to better ourselves, growing in our weaknesses and shrinking in our pridefulness, as well as the healthy support of a community can make or break your success and your sanity. Welcome to the show, Alexandra.
Thanks so much for having me. It's such an honor.
How did you get into weaving? Was it something that you'd seen someone do, or what prompted you to start weaving or learning that craft?
Yeah, so it was quite a shift for me. I actually started painting. I went to an art school, but painting was my focus.
Yes.
But I had a roommate who was a fibers major, mm-hmm. and she learned to weave and started bringing home all of these beautiful pieces. And it piqued my interest, and I was like, I'm going to give that a try.
Yes.
So it took a long time for me to actually do it. Yes. I went through school and worked a little bit, but then finally was able to pursue this other dream of mine.
Yeah, I love that in your intro we said, 4 months before starting the business. So you learned how to weave, and then, you know what, I'm going to start a business, and you've never looked back. And I'm sharing that because I wonder how many people are doing something that they absolutely love, and it's been a gift and a strength and an ability that we can now take into creating a business. Was there a conversation that you had? What prompted you to then think, you know what, I'm going to start a business with this? How did that happen for you?
Yeah, I really felt like it was kind of just the Lord's plan for me because of the situations that I got put in.
Mm.
I was unhappy with my job, and so I quit the office job I was working and started working as a nanny for two little boys because I have children and families are another passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And on the side, I kind of was learning how to weave and doing this new thing. And eventually those two little boys went off to daycare and, it was just the next stage of life for them. And, so I was kind of left with this decision of I can either get a job in the two areas that I know, which is secretarial work
mm-hmm.
or painting,
yes.
neither of which I wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
or I could really pursue this new love of mine, weaving, and just see where it goes and see where the Lord leads that
yes.
business.
Yes.
So I guess the conversation really happened between my husband and I with, is this plausible?
Mm-hmm.
Can we do this? He's also self-employed. So it was quite a risk.
Mm.
But in the end, we decided that that risk would be worth it.
Yes. This, I think, conversation can really lend itself to, if you don't do what you love, you'll likely get a lot less done, which I think is so important, is to find what that passion is. But for someone who can see that they're not getting a lot done, because similar to what you have just expressed, they're not finding real joy and fulfillment in the work that they did, what were some of the steps that you put into place that you can see were really supporting you or helpful as you continue to get your business off the ground? Because it's a great idea to have a business, but to get it to a stage that it is continuing to build and grow that momentum is also very important on the decisions that you make and the foundations that you put in place. So what were some of those key things that you did to enable your business to start?
Well, first I started with keeping my costs low. So my studio is still in my home. I don't have a lot of overhead. It's just me. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, my goal for the first year of the business was just to have the business pay for itself. Yeah. I didn't start with investors or a ton of money behind this business. Mm-hmm. So my goal was just that it wouldn't be a drain from our personal accounts.
Yeah.
So I think keeping costs low, only making as much as my materials allowed at the time before I bought new things or, mm-hmm. you know, added to the business in any way was really helpful for that first year.
Yes.
But then once that first year goes, you really have to put, you know, your 80-20 rule. You really have to get a lot more out there. And, you know, marketing is sometimes free and that's great, but a lot of it is not. And so really spending any extra money that I did have on getting my name out there, going to markets, advertising, marketing, all of those sorts of things, I think helped it for me to grow a little bit more.
Yes. And I think in the craft arena and or the arts, if you will, there, and you, we're thinking about, you know, your ideal clients, where did you find the balance between what you loved to create and then creating pieces that your ideal clients would love as well? Were there some research that you did? Did you find out what are people looking for? How did that pan out for you?
Yeah, it was a lot of trial and error, a lot of kind of back and forth between what I wanted to make and what I thought people would buy. Mm-hmm. Coming from a painting background, for me, painting was a lot more personal. It was hard to let go of pieces. Mm-hmm. But coming into this business, I really love the production side, like the actual weaving. Mm-hmm. And so it was much easier for me to part with pieces. And so that kind of helped me to think more about the products I was designing as I want this to go out and be in homes, and I enjoy just the process of weaving. So it was very easy for me to just say, what colors are trending? What am I seeing that people are buying? But also I have to kind of battle with the things like Target and, you know, those places that are making similar items as I do. But they're able to mass produce them, and so they're a lot cheaper than mine. And so how do I also make my goods special in some sort of way? How do I share my message to make people really understand why my products are more expensive? And that kind of changed my audience as well, because I had to start realizing that my class, like my peers, cannot necessarily afford my products. And that was hard for me because I wanted this to be a very accessible item. But I'm learning that for me, I would much rather pour into women by hiring them, by working with them, by sharing about my business, and sell to the higher clientele so that they can fund me in doing those things.
Yes, it's so true. And I love the way that you shared that, because I think when we look at particularly creatives and artists who will often take hours and hours, days, weeks, months to create a piece, when we look at the time investment and then the materials in comparison, as you say, to the things that are mass produced, we have to completely change our mindset and create for the ideal client who knows and will really value that this was handmade, that it has a story behind it, and particularly because you've got a real faith-based approach to this, that when they look at it, they're really reminded of that. So just before we dive into some of these other, because this is so important, and I know that that what you're sharing are great insights for people, particularly if they're going through this process too. What are some of the pieces that you do typically now create for your clients?
Sure. So I would say my bread and butter is my hand-woven tea towels. They're just perfect for the kitchen, just simple little towels with fringe. Everything I make is cotton and linen, so they're durable and beautiful and soft and very useful. I've also done lots of table runners. I do throw blankets and throw pillows, all of those sorts of things as well. And then I've recently gotten into more of the like DIY weaving. So I make some small looms so that people can start to do a little bit of weaving on their own as well.
Yes, because often I think, and this is where we're looking at multiple streams of income, where you're creating your, you know, your products and for clients, but then looking at, okay, other people now look to me because they see you as having paved the way. I would like to do that as well. So you help them by creating either some training materials to show how you did that, packs, kits, that kind of thing too. So valuable, valuable information. So let's talk about that we should always be looking to better our self-growing in our weaknesses and shrinking in our pridefulness. Share some insights around this. This is so important, isn't it?
It really is. Pride. Especially when you are starting your own business, you, I feel like you will either be quickly humbled or quickly inflated.
Yes.
If your business goes off without a hitch, you can just think you are the bomb.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And if it doesn't, and if you struggle, then it really does kind of feel like something is wrong with you or with the product you're making, or, you know, so many of those types of insecurities. And so I think, especially with my message, I really want to reach people with the idea of I'm also not perfect. Mm. The beauty of my products is that they're handmade, which means there will be imperfections and there will be flaws, and that's okay to celebrate.
Yes.
And also that, you know, I understand that all of my success in this business is attributed to God and is His blessing on this business. And hopefully, as I continue to look towards Him in the direction this business should go, that He will continue to bless it. So I can't take pride in the glory of my business, and instead I'm giving that glory to the Lord.
Yeah, I so can really see how it is so important. Sometimes when we do have wins and successes, and maybe even, you know, subsequent successes, if we find that we are getting a little bit prideful, guaranteed He's going to put a challenge in the way, something that will have us go, okay, all right, not my strength, but yours. But, you know, it's interesting that you should say that, because Alexandra, I've had a number of conversations now with business owners in the tech space who've started up and who really were trying to get, you know, the VC, venture capitalist, and investment, and they didn't achieve that, but then, or even failure in some instances, but I'm always a believer, and they now see there's no such thing as failure, it's just feedback that something didn't work, try something else, and they can see that through those experiences and those challenges, God's been able to grow a strength and even leadership skills. And one particular was a gentleman. He was saying, I'm such a better husband now and a father, and even to my team, through having some of those experiences that have really humbled me. So, you know, being able to look back and see that is fantastic. In the moment, not so much. It's like, what are you doing? You know, why is this happening? But I think it's building strengths in us, and sometimes even strengths that will overshadow our weaknesses, if you will, that those weaknesses won't even matter anymore, because the strength that God's building in us is going to help us move forward. Would you say that that's been true for you too?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think even in seeing, working with interns and, you know, people that are adding to my business, it's really encouraging to see both them and myself grow in how to work together, and you know, miscommunications that lead to clarification.
Yes.
It's just really great.
What do you do? Are there some things within your personal life, like meditation, prayer, that kind of thing, that you find is really important for you as you continue to grow your business, and where you really focus on before you start the day? How does that work for you? What sort of strategies do you implement in that way to balance that?
So, like I said, my studio is in my home, so I'm able to really create a routine for myself in the morning that is pretty smooth. So I tend to wake up, I try to wake up at about the same time every day, giving myself grace if I've, you know, slept late the night or stayed up late the night before, make my coffee, have a healthy, good breakfast. I've switched to a little less bread and a little more fruit and, you know, the good choices.
Mm-hmm.
And then on good weeks and good days, I get straight to my devotional. So yeah. I'll do a little bit of reading. I have a group that I memorize scripture with. So I'll memorize whatever we're working on that week. And from there, either I get straight to work or sometimes I'll take the dog for a walk. And that's just kind of a nice way to get out, relax a little bit. I'll often call my mom or grandma while I'm walking. And it's just a good, it's something that puts me in a good mood. And then I just try to get straight to work, get a plan for the day. If my intern is coming, make sure she has things to do. And then I just work until about lunchtime and take a break, chill out, reconvene, you know, get things together for the afternoon again, and then work until my husband comes home.
Yeah. It's great to be able to, particularly for creatives, to have some form of system or process, if you will, that is able to support you, because similarly, I think with writing or painting, when you're doing your craft, do you have to get in that zone? And might sound funny to say that, but you know that zone where you just things are flowing, your ideas, and I'm sure that's the same with weaving. I mean, if you really feel that you are in your zone, the creativity aspect just flows so much more smoothly. Is that something that you find too?
Oh, for sure. And I find it's really good to stay flexible with that, because for me, it changes from day to day what will put me in that mood. So for a long time, it was just music. I have this really specific and weird for other people, I'm sure, playlist that I listen to on Spotify that I just put that on. It's got like 300 songs, so I'm set. But recently, it's been audiobooks, especially fiction, where it's more narrative driven. So I kind of zone out of what I'm weaving, because that's so second nature to me now, that I just get lost in this story and I can go hours and hours weaving, where usually I would be tired and stiff by then and have to take a break. So it really helps me be more productive when I find that thing that has caught my attention for that week or month or however long it was.
Yeah. It's good to hear you identify to some of the things that you do, because I'm sure when you find that there is an environment that you've created and you're doing something that you love, then it flows. As you say, you can go for hours, not feel that exhaustion, but rather continue on that project, and you get a lot more done than if you feel you start a little bit and then you end up procrastinating. And almost, this is what happens for me, you interrupt yourself, you distract yourself with other things that are going on. Have you found that too?
Yeah, especially working from home. If I start to get tired, I'm like, oh, I do need to do laundry. I'll take a break and go do that.
You have the cleanest kitchen drawer you ever did see. You know, the messy one that gets cleaned out. You've got to.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true. So just saying that, because if someone is thinking, you know, they're the only people that do that, no, we can all do that too. But it's with intention that you create a structure, even if it's one that has flexibility to it, that creates an environment which you know that you can do your best work. Let's talk about the healthy support of a community can make or break your success or your sanity. What do you mean by that?
So I am blessed with an amazing community. I've been at my church, and it's the same church I was actually saved at in 2011. So I kind of came to faith late for considering those people. During college, and this has been my community since then. So we have so many creatives, because it's in the same city as my art college was. So everybody is very aware of the arts and is good supporters of the arts as well. And I think it's great because not only are there a lot of other creative entrepreneurs within my Christian circle, but there's also just so many, especially in my church, age generation differences. So there's the older generation that maybe isn't as creative, but loves supporting us and loves buying those things. And then those other entrepreneurs that are my peers doing the same things, they're able to check in and say, like, how's business going? Are you resting? You know, is there anything we can collaborate on, like, how can we make this fun, you know, all sorts of things like that. So I really have seen the support of my community to be beneficial for me to both keep work interesting and to get me outside of work and resting and having fun and focusing on other things.
Yes. And so it sounds as if that you are able to find or have around you, if you will, a group of people that you could then encourage to become part of that community or just check in with them on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone that perhaps does not have maybe a local church that or that people that are there that understands them? Because I think sometimes the community that you really surround yourself with, that you do get support from, sometimes has to have that understanding or some approach and attitude that will support you. Were there other things that you did, or can you suggest some things on finding a community so that you can surround yourself with people who will support you? Because sometimes, yeah, as you say, there can be challenging times and it just needs a shoulder. And once you've kind of just blurted something out, you go, I feel so much better already. So what sort of insights, you know, when you've just had that shoulder?
Well, I will say that I also have this really amazing group of handmade business owners in the area who are not necessarily Christian. Some of them happen to be, but that's also been really great. And most of them I've just met through doing local markets and fairs and pop-ups and it's just kind of networking. You know, yes. You've got to get out there with your business anyway. So you might as well be making friends that are doing the same thing you're doing. And we've been able to start a maker meetup once a month where we can share ideas about business. You know, who did you use for photography? Who did you use for web design?
Yes.
Those sorts of ideas that keep flowing. And we can also say, hey, I've got a pop-up. Like, if anybody wants to come and support, that would be awesome. And I think just to cultivate those things, you just have to be on the lookout for opportunities. You have to put yourself out there. You have to be able to go to that other booth or, you know, whatever it is for your, for your type of business and say, hey, my name is Alex. I'm that booth over there with Daughter Handwovens. I love your stuff. Like, come chat.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just broaching that conversation. And I think what's important too is if there's nothing in someone's area, local area, maybe that is an indication that starts to start one yourself. And I think sometimes people are just waiting for someone to spearhead that. Yeah. And I think with meetups, it's quite easy to set up a meetup on the actual meetup website. And so there may be other people that are, you know, around the local area too. And I think even sometimes, I mean, you can create really good solid friendships and relationships with people who may not necessarily be in your local area, but maybe through some other groups, you know, on Facebook or other forums, particularly as you said, there's other people around in the craft area that you can commit, to identifying, okay, let's set something up. Because I think for businesses, it's that supportive network and community, as you said, can either make or break your success and sanity. And I'm sure that there are things that people have shared with you, resources like photographers, websites, that have saved you a lot of time and money, and you haven't had to reinvent the wheel because you've received a you know, qualified recommendation and been able to do the same as well, yes?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. So share with people how they can find out more about your business, Daughter Handwovens, whether there's, you know, a regular craft meeting that you show your, you know, your beautiful products, or even online. What's the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah, so my Instagram is probably the most up to date, and that is just, my handle is just @daughter_handwovens. My website is the same, www.daughterhandwovens.com. I do have an Etsy as well, so that, again, search Daughter Handwovens.
Keep it simple.
And then I have fairs going on all the time, so you can join my newsletter to find out about those. But my closest one will be in Atlanta, Georgia, June 2nd and 3rd, so that one's coming up.
Amazing. And I'd imagine because that's coming up soon, you would be stockpiling a lot of products to take with you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
My intern and I are working around the clock.
That's right. There's nothing worse than going to those events and then all of a sudden selling out on the, you know, within a short time of being there. It's like, oh.
Right.
But I guess you would take orders. And I'm only asking this because I'm sure that there are people who have similar businesses or art some art focused business, that there's things that they can certainly learn, but you would take orders as well. So yeah, fantastic. Look, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. We've had so many different business owners on the show, tech, but a lot of professional services, not so many art and crafts, you know, selling products, but ones that really require so much time and dedication and skill in delivering that. And I know that people who have a similar business are certainly going to be blessed from that. But let's face it, as entrepreneurs, we can always learn from others, no matter what industry, no matter what focus that they're in. So one of the things that I'm doing for all of my guests, Alexandra, and I love your Alex, I'll call you since you mentioned Alex, is saying a word of prayer just as we're finishing the show. May I do that for you as well?
That's lovely.
Fabulous. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak with Alex today to find out about her business and how she came to really start to allow her passion, which she found to be woven goods, and be able to create that into a business so that she can bless people with the pieces that she continues to create. Father, we just want to ask for your continued blessing and favor on her, on her husband and on her business, and of course the clients that she can continue to serve and support with her wonderful products. And we just want to ask that you continue to hold her steadfast. Sometimes, Lord, it can be challenging to grow businesses, but we know that when we lean into you, when we continue to seek your word and seek you in prayer, that when we find strength in you and follow your words, that that's when things can just click into place and we can continue to grow our kingdom businesses. Father, we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm so glad the live worked, and look forward to sharing this message with as many people as we can. So thanks once again for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. Changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.